Did you miss the headline and the top story of the day?
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Don't worry, because we got you covered.
This is how we do.
It's the Cattles and Rami
Top Spot.
That's what it is. Fourth and final hour of the show. Nick out, Jay in. You heard Simone on the update. Kyle on the other side of the glass on the ones and twos in for Jay. And the top spot today, Jay, I was watching, and I know you were too, the Western Conference Finals last night. And as I've said all week, I can't watch anything NBA. And I think about how it compares to the Kings, how it affects the Kings, etc., etc. And I had two thoughts watching that game last night. One good for the Kings, one bad for the Kings. And I'll get to the bad in a second, but the good news is, Jay, I don't know about you, I think this might be the Lakers on their last leg. If they have any chance to win a championship with this group of guys, with this core that they've put together of LeBron and AD and the other pieces around them, this is it. I don't think that this Lakers team is going to be much of a problem beyond this year, and the numbers sort of back it up. This morning at The Athletic, they had a comparison of LeBron, of 2020 bubble LeBron in the playoffs, and this year LeBron in the playoffs, he's down in points, he's down in rebounds, he's down in assists, he's down in field goal percentage, he's shooting more field goals, which if you're shooting the ball worse, that's something you probably shouldn't do. He's shooting more threes and shooting 23% from three-point land. Anthony Davis, his offensive game is down across the board. He's better on the boards, and he's better defensively than he was when they were in the bubble a couple of years ago. But offensively, everything has taken a turn for the worse. I don't think the Lakers are anything really to worry about beyond this year, Jay. I don't know if I'm getting ahead of myself.
No, I think you're spot on there, Rami. I think for everything that you've said and you brought up to the forefront, I 100% agree with you. I think more than anything, it revolves around LBJ, LeBron. Yes. You know, he for what all it's worth, it sounds crazy because this dude has just been the Energizer Bunny. He's just continuously, you know, kept going and going and going, and it doesn't seem like he's ever going to slow down, but I think we see just a little bit. I'm not saying that LeBron's going to drop from doing what he's doing and what we know LeBron to be to come down and only be scoring 12, 13 points. What I'm saying is, I think he's starting to slide down from being that number one, the number one player in our league to maybe coming down to 15, 14, 10. There's some youngsters starting to pop up. And I know it sounds crazy, and I don't want to disrespect LeBron at all.
He's one of the greats.
He is.
Maybe the GOAT.
Absolutely. I would disrespect the Lakers for sure, but I don't want to disrespect LeBron. I'm just saying wherever he notches, I'm not sure he's the best in the game anymore just because of time. Father time. It's undefeated.
And the numbers look all right when you look at LeBron's line from last night. You wouldn't look at his line at the end of the night and go, oh, he had a bad game. But
one assist short of a triple-double, right?
One assist short of – but in game one –
that's balling.
Took that terrible three with 45 seconds left, then got stripped of the ball by Bruce Brown after Jokic hit a couple free throws, and it was a wrap after that, after a great comeback. And then in yesterday's game, botched a layup or dunk in the first half. Ball just went flying out of his hands.
Slippery palms.
Botched another layup in the closing minutes of the game, then again was stripped of the ball. He went 0 for 6 from three-point range. He's 0 for 6 from three-point range. He's 0 for 10 from three for the series now. And I wasn't the only one thinking LeBron – the age was starting to show a little bit. This was Alan Hahn, NBA analyst for ESPN, this morning on Get Up.
You're watching this game, and there's a lot of different things we can break down from this game, but the very first thing that I thought of when the game ended was LeBron James' battery is drained. It's like an old iPhone. When you plug it in and try to charge it up, it never gets back to 100%. He might be at that point now. We have never really seen him like that.
Yeah, it's starting to show. 38 and 20 years in the league is starting to show.
And what's so cold about the situation, Rami, is we're saying he's slipping and he's one assist away from a triple-double.
Yeah,
it just shows how great LeBron has been over his 20-year career. But just the smallest crack in your armor, can start to let some of the water through. And I think that's kind of where what we're saying is, I wouldn't be so much to worry about the Lakers for the next 5 years, 4 years. But at the same time, because LeBron's there, of course you got to respect him. Of course you have to show the respect to LeBron. And he can go for 40 any night. I'm just not sure he can go for 40 multiple nights in a series.
Now, the flip side of that, my first thought was, man, Lakers, they might be done after this. This might be their last shot at winning a championship. Nothing to worry about after this year. Then I went, oh, but what about that team that's beaten them? What about that team that just went up 2-0 in the Western Conference Finals? So all this was going, while the game was going on last night, I'm
You're
having
doing
these
a lot
thoughts,
of thoughts, man.
Pulled up the, and I'm I pulled thinking. Up pulled up the Nuggets roster. Jokic, 27. Murray, 25. Gordon, 27. Porter Jr. is 24. Bruce Brown is 26.
Their big four are all under contract for at least 3 years.
And under contract for the next 3 years, as Kyle told us. Jade, that's a team that is going to be a problem for a long time. You're not gonna wait for them to age out before you get your turn in the Western Conference. You're going to have to go through the Denver Nuggets if the Kings or anybody else has plans on winning championships here in the next 2 or 3 years. You're going to have to go through this Denver Nuggets team and solve that problem that Jokic and the rest of them present.
In a couple of days, we went from Wemby being on the Spurs, and now you're proposing that we're going to have to fight Wemby for the next 15, 20 years or whatever it's going to be. And now you're talking about Jokic is here another 5 or 6, 7 more years. You're just making it more difficult for me, Rami, and I'm not really feeling the fact of where you're coming from.
It is what it is. Am I wrong? It is what it is. Is it not? It is,
and that's what makes me – that's why I'm upset about it. It's because you're 100% spot on. Look, as long as we talked about LeBron kind of de-escalating,
yes.
You know, the arrow's pointing down. Jokic is that arrow is up and it's firing up. You know, it's going up like fireworks in the air right now. It's going to be difficult. You're going to see Denver in the playoffs unless something drastically changes. Something happens. Jokic gets hurt. God forbid, knock on table for him. But he's going to be there for the next 5, which means Denver's going to be there for the next 5, which means, as I'm wishful thinking, I'm hoping the Kings will be in the playoffs for the next 5 years. You're going to see them in the top 8 for sure for the next 5 years.
Can this core catch up to that core?
I want to say yes. I want to say yes because I think the Kings have a little more room to grow. I'm not saying Denver doesn't, but I think Denver is closer to maxing out than Sacramento. I'm hoping, wishing, praying that Sacramento brings in, you know, everybody likes De'Aaron Fox to be the number one. He proved a lot to me, but I still believe one of the two things have to happen. De'Aaron has to move all the way to being, you know, a top 10 guy, or we need to bring another guy in that's a superstar.
Agreed. I'm with you on that. I could see De'Aaron climbing into the top 5, top 10. But I can't confidently say that'll happen.
I need a guarantee.
Absolutely. And when you look at Jokic, man, that guy's he's a should be 3-time MVP and entering his peak right now at 27 years old. Plus Murray, all those guys in their 20s, like Kyle said, under contract for the next 3 years. That's going to be something to contend with for a minute. Real quick before we go to the break, I also wanted to touch in the top spot on a problem the 49ers have been contending with for a minute, and that's the quarterback position.
Oh, you keep bringing up some bad vibes for me here, Rami.
Well, no, maybe this is good.
Okay.
Maybe this is good.
All right, well, I'll take
yesterday
that back.
We talked about the possibility of Sam Darnold as a starting quarterback.
That's a bad vibe.
There's a lot of hype, a lot of smoke to that fire. Well, today it's almost like Trey Lance's people saw that, and they felt like they needed to counterpunch and get their own good hype out there. An article all about how Trey Lance has been working with Jeff Christensen and Patrick Mahomes. Christensen is Mahomes' personal QB coach. And they said they've been working on his accuracy, and they've seen a lot of improvement there. Christensen said, to his credit, he just keeps getting better. Over the last 7 days, every day was a substantial jump. Kyle Shanahan said he was able to get such a better base in these last 2 months that I think Trey is the best that we've seen him right now. Yeah, we've got to get into OTAs and practice, but when you watch his feet, his timing, how he's throwing the ball, he's in such a better place now than he was last year. And Shanahan even talked about the fact that this tweak to his throwing motion this offseason has alleviated some shoulder problems. In the past, he could throw for 2 or 3 days, then he needed to give the arm a break. Now that doesn't seem to be the issue. Jay, are you going to let yourself get excited about Trey Lance all over again, despite all the injuries and all the setbacks?
Yes, I'm absolutely thrilled. I'm pumped. I'm ready to go. I would love to see the shiny new toy that isn't so much as new. We've had it, but it's still in the package a little bit. You know, we took it out one time, Mom. We got in trouble. We got put on, you know, restriction. And the toy just been sitting there looking at us. And that's kind of the thing with Trey Lance. We haven't been able to play with that new shiny toy. But I'm excited, man. I like to see Trey get his opportunity. I would say this, if Sam Darnold or Clayton Thurston or anyone that's not Brock Purdy beats out Trey Lance, we're definitely in trouble. But I don't think it's going to happen.
Speaking of the 49ers quarterback situation, a guy says he's not done playing football. And a guy who could have been somebody the 49ers kicked the tires on, should they have? We'll discuss right after this.
With you 1 mile at a time during the afternoon drive. Cattles and Robbie.
Sactown Sports.
That's the show coming up at 5:30. Bring you the call back. We had a chance to speak with Antonis Storgalakis earlier of Eurohoops.net. Fresh off watching Sasha Vezenkov, EuroLeague MVP Sasha Vezenkov in the semifinals, which they won. And he gave us sort of a scouting report on Vezenkov and also whether or not you might see him in a Kings uniform. That's coming up at 5:30 in the callback. But, Jay, I got football on my mind, and I got the 49ers quarterback situation on my mind. Maybe because, and I brought this up with Eric Edholm yesterday, maybe it's just a slow time of the calendar, and I'm just hungry. You know, I'm thirsty for a little NFL talk. Well, Matt Ryan, he just signed a deal to be an analyst for CBS Sports. And most people, when they make such a move from the field to the booth, they're announcing their retirement.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Ryan says he's not doing that. He says, I've just learned, at least during my experience in the 15 years I've played, to just not shut any doors. That's really the decision behind that. I'm excited to kind of take this next step and to move forward, but at the same time, you never know what's going to happen in this league. Anything could shake out, and so we'll see what happens. He said, I had the opportunity after the season to go up and get in the studio with the crew on NFL Today, and I had a blast doing it. I really did. I enjoyed being up there with those guys, getting to talk ball beforehand, talk through the show, get on air and talk a little bit. I really enjoyed that aspect of it. But, Jay, to me, when a guy takes a broadcasting job but says, I'm not done playing football anymore, that smacks of a guy who wanted to be on a roster somewhere this year, found no takers, so he was like, all right, I'll go up into the booth and hopefully somebody calls. You know what I mean?
Sure.
He was a name that was kicked around when the 49ers were still looking for insurance options for Trey Lance and Brock Purdy, with Purdy being hurt, Lance having his history, and they landed on Sam Darnold,
yeah,
who you have said you are none too excited about,
no,
the prospect that he could start games for you. But you know that's a real possibility.
True.
And you know, and 49ers fans know, they had to get an insurance policy. If they weren't going to make a big splash and get a Lamar or an Aaron Rodgers or a Tom Brady, they had to get a veteran insurance policy for those other two guys. My question to you, Jay, and 49ers fans, you can comment, youtube.com/SactownSports. Give us those likes while you're there. Would you rather have had, now it's a done deal now, but would you rather have had Sam Darnold or Matt Ryan as your veteran insurance policy?
The moment for me to have Matt Ryan is already passed. It was last year in the NFC Championship when Josh Johnson had to come in when Purdy and played bad and then got hurt, and then Brock Purdy had to hand the ball off 26 times.
And he was mentioned last year too that, yeah, if the Colts released him, which was a possibility, that maybe Kyle Shanahan gives him a call. And by the way, I left this out, and most people probably already know this. He and Kyle Shanahan have history.
Yes.
With Shanahan having been his offensive coordinator in Atlanta.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So for me, no. I wouldn't want Matt Ryan unless it was right then and there after, you know, Jimmy G had went down, Trey Lance had went down, Brock Purdy was there, and the 49ers, as you said earlier, were so arrogant about the situation, they went and got Josh Johnson, my cousin.
Mm-hmm.
But no, absolutely not. That was supposed to have been Matt Ryan right there. And when when Brock Purdy went down, that would have been Matt Ryan stepping in. At least we had a veteran, someone who could throw
can
the
you
ball.
Imagine?
We still had an opportunity.
Right?
We had a shot, right?
Yep.
But for me, give me Sam Darnold. I'll take Sam Darnold as the insurance policy. He's still, to use the argument that Nick says, he still has a 2 in front of his age instead of a 3. Matt Ryan is close to a 4, I'd rather be closer to a 3. So go ahead and give me Sam Darnold. I don't want Matt Ryan. Man, you had your opportunity. You're right there in the Super Bowl. You, Kyle Shanahan, the Falcons, you choked it off. That was your Super Bowl run. It didn't work. I don't need you to come back and rekindle no situation. I'm scorned. It's like a bad relationship, Rami. I don't need Kyle and Matt Ryan to connect any more than outside of a dinner while CBS is covering a 49ers game this year.
Dude, he was really bad last year. He was really, really bad last year.
Yep.
He had a, let me just make sure I got the 83.9 rating.
Yeah.
He had almost as many interceptions as touchdowns, 13 interceptions, 14 touchdowns. He threw for over 3,000 yards, but everybody
That's
does
NFL.
Nowadays. Yeah, yeah, I mean, exactly.
Josh Johnson could go out there and do that.
But, Jay, where you really see it is in the yards per catch and the average air yards per attempt. He, for his career, he averaged over 11 yards per catch from his receivers. In his best years, it was 13.3
okay.
in 2016, the year that he won the MVP.
That's really good.
Last year, 9.9 yards per catch, and his air yards per attempt, which is how far the ball travels before it hits a receiver every time he makes an attempt, 6 yards.
Man.
That's Drew Brees in his last year type of numbers. He couldn't throw the ball much more than 10 or the arm strength just isn't there. Again, in his best year, he threw the ball over 10 yards on every attempt, 10.1 yards on every attempt through the air every time it left his hands. And it gradually just went down there was one spike. He went from there to 7.5, 8.7, then 7.1, 7.4, 6.8, 6.0. He just can't throw the ball very far anymore. I think it's a wrap on mm-hmm. Matt Ryan. And he was great.
Yes.
In his,
that's a great run.
In his prime, he was great. Mm-hmm. He deserved that MVP. He was a surgeon with the football.
Yes. But he should have won a Super Bowl.
It's just, it's over.
Yeah,
it's over. And Sam Darnold ain't a great option either, I don't think, unless Kyle Shanahan works some magic. But it's over.
Yeah.
It's over for Matt Ryan. And I think Sam Darnold was the better choice. While we're on the NFL, we are remiss, Jay, in not mentioning today some sad news out of the world, the NFL. Hall of Fame running back, one of the all-time greats, and complicated legacy off the field. He did some things that some folks, including himself, might not be so proud of.
Hmm.
But he also did a lot in the world of civil rights and criminal justice reform and using his voice and his platform to try and make the world a better place. Jim Brown,
yes,
at the age of 87, has passed away.
Yeah, it's You said complicated.
It's a complicated legacy, man.
Yeah, he very much so. I mean, we're talking about such a great human being when it comes to being an activist for a lot of the things that he stood for African American equality. Not even talk about the things that he's done on the field. Like you said, considered by many
to be the greatest
running back. Some people consider him, top 3. The guy was a heck of a lacrosse player. I mean, one of the greatest lacrosse guys,
mm-hmm.
To ever play. But little actor, even got in
some acting,
original gangsters.
Yep.
Let's not forget about some of those things, Rami. But for me, Jim Brown was on this earth way before I was. But by the time I was born and able to do my research and look and see who this man is, for me, it's going to touch me about the equality that he fought for African-Americans, black folks, man. Because for when he was at his prime, there were a lot of things that, because the color of his skin, he couldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
And he was blessed to be able to do certain things because of who he was. But the fact of it that he never lost was he wanted everybody to come with him, that shared the same skin color and the same culture and the same race as him. And so for me, that's how I remember Jim Brown. Of course, again, he was much older in his years by the time I came around. How about yourself?
My very earliest memory of Jim Brown,
for sure,
has nothing to do with football. Growing up, I loved the In-Living. We talked about In Living Color.
Of course.
I love the In Living Color guys. Man. And Keenan Ivory Wayans, he made a movie called I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker.
Mm-hmm.
So
so stupid.
It's a masterpiece.
But so funny. Yeah. And that's one of Jim Brown's acting roles. Like, right. Before I even really knew who Jim Brown was, I loved that movie.
Right.
When I was a little kid, because it was just silly. Just a silly, silly movie. And then later, same thing kind of with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in the airplane mm-hmm. movies. You yep. know what I mean? Where I was like, that guy's a great athlete? That's yep. crazy. But rest in peace, Jim
yes,
Brown.
Man,
we'll hit a quick break. On the other side, it's the callback. And Antonis Strogolakis, HeroHoops.net. He's going to tell us the scoop on Sasha Vezenkov.
The 49ers 2023 schedule is out and filled with big matchups.
The 49ers start the season with a week one showdown in Pittsburgh.
At home in week 5 against the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football.
And a week 13 NFC Championship game rematch with the Eagles.
Plus, get every 49ers game this season on Sactown Sports. Visit SactownSports.com for the latest team news and a full schedule breakdown.
I'm going to light up these phone lines.
The phone is ringing.
And we are checking to see who's on the line.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
News, gossip, a story.
Okay, who's the next victim?
It's the callback.
On Cattles and Rami.
It is time for the callback on Cattles and Rami. Jay in for Nick once again today. And earlier in the show, Jay had wrangled Antonis Strogolakis to come on and talk to us from EuroHoops.net. The EuroLeague semifinals had just been played. EuroLeague MVP Sasha Vezenkov played in that game. Antonis told us they won, and Sasha had himself a fine game. He also told us that I asked him who he compares to. Like, give me an NBA player that Sasha Vezenkov might compare to, and he gave me just that.
He has a ceiling higher than Nikola Mirotic. He can become an upgraded version of Nikola Mirotic in a way. Because right now, I'm saying Nikola Mirotic for specific reasons. He succeeded Nikola Mirotic mm-hmm. in becoming EuroLeague MVP. And he's a faster Nikola Mirotic. He can become a better rebounder than Mirotic. He is a better rebounder than Mirotic right now. So, yeah, I could compare him with someone like that. You know, a guy his size who can shoot the three. He moves really, really, really well with the ball. That's a major difference with Nikola Mirotic. So, yeah, I would say Nikola Mirotic, but an upgraded version of him.
How do you like that comparison, Jay? Nico 2.0. So 2.0. A little better rebounder.
Yeah.
Good shooter, mm-hmm. better with the ball in his hands, like Mirotic, but does a few things better. Would that clear the bar that Jay has set for Sasha Vezenkov?
I'm probably looking a little higher myself, but I can respect it. You know, I mean, we're talking about a decent NBA player, and I say NBA guy is, you know, he's good. He's good at what he does, but I think I'm expecting a little higher. My expectations are just a bit higher there, Rami.
And probably skip the getting your face broken by Bobby Portis part
yes,
of your career.
Yes, I don't need that.
Yeah, that would be important.
You don't need that at all.
I think Mirotic was trending up high, you know, higher. Or excuse me, was trending up. But I think the Bobby Portis thing really
set him back.
Messed him back. Yeah.
And
really,
by the way, Bobby,
really messed him up, man.
Bobby Portis gets the bad rap. If you win the fight, you end up looking
for
like
sure.
the bad guy. By all indications, from multiple people who I've spoken to, Niko Mirotić was the guy who
yes.
would not let that thing go. And
yes.
finally Bobby was like, all right, you want to do this? I guess I'll break your face.
That's right. So, it wasn't Draymond. I'm a sock.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah,
exactly. But he was like... Like our guest said, he's had a good NBA. You don't hang around for as long as Nico Mirotić
Straight
has,
unless
you got some skills. They called him Nico Suave back in,
really?
Back in Chicago. That was his nickname back.
Was he was solid with the ladies, or what was?
Stacey King is just good at giving.
Okay,
nicknames.
Yeah, I like Stacey. We gotta get Stacey on. It's summertime. We just gotta flood the market.
Talk to Stacey
King. Stacey's good dude.
He's a great dude. Yeah. Also. We heard from Antonis Strogolakis about how Sasha Vezenkov might fit in with this Kings offense and one of their main pieces.
You have to picture Vezenkov as he operates on the system of Olympiakos. On the system of Olympiakos, he doesn't need to hold the ball much in his hands. He moves off the ball, he makes surgical cuts to the basket, he slices through the defense and finishes plays. We've seen him handle the ball really well. He's attacking the closeout. He has a sort of a signature move when he's faking to take the three-pointer, and when there is a very aggressive closeout on him, then he can drive very quickly, I might say, for his size, to the basket and finish the play. Yeah, I think he's well with the ball in his hands, but I don't think that, especially in the beginnings, if he eventually, because we never know, comes to the Kings, that he will be used in that manner. I think the optimal way is to use him as he is now, as someone who can receive passes from his teammates. For example, it paints a pretty picture in my mind how well he might play with Domantas Sabonis.
And
receiving the ball from Sabonis, from a big guy like Sabonis, because Olympiacos also have their center, have their big men distributing the ball.
Similar to what we heard from Mike Brown when he went and visited Vezenkov and watched him play in the EuroLeague, that he thought, and it sounds like Antonis thinks, he could come in here and fit pretty well with what the Kings do and play that two-man game with Domas Sabonis.
Yeah, I like it. As I asked Antonis, I saw more clips of Sasha being more of a catch-and-shooter, you know, not really a creator off his own dribble, more of a receiver than a passer. And I think that works for the Kings, especially having De'Aaron Fox and Domas, as you talked about. He spoke about it, too. I'm excited. I'm excited to see how it pans out. And, again, we're rooting for Olympiacos against Real Madrid on this weekend.
Yeah, it just might happen, as Jay alluded to, before we even let Antonis. And I didn't ask him. This was unsolicited.
Mm-hmm.
He let us know just how good a chance there is that Sasha Vezenkov ends up in a Kings uniform next year.
Good luck to Sasha, who is playing the EuroLeague final Sunday.
Sunday? Yes.
Against Real Madrid. I won't be in the building, but Sasha, I have to tell you something. The word on the pipeline is that Sasha Vezenkov will likely come to the Kings. If he wins the EuroLeague, it will become easier for him.
So if he wins the EuroLeague, if he beats Real Madrid, he and Olympiacos beat Real Madrid on Sunday, he says he will likely be a Sacramento King next year. He doesn't want to leave unfinished business in the EuroLeague, Jay. He wants the MVP, and he wants that ring. Then he can come over and take care of business in the States.
I like it. Sign me up right now. Look, I'm not going to be like our friend of the show, Chris Verlade. I'm not going to be getting up at 5 in the morning to watch, you know, them play. But, I'm with it. Let's get it on. Come on, let's make it happen. I'm trying to see this guy get in ball. As Antonis talked about, they went on a 27-2 run today.
27-2
run.
To pull out the semifinals.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that on Sunday. And then after that, you let them celebrate 2-3 days later, have the parade, and then come next week, we right in your inbox, baby, your DM. What's going on? We got the PJ waiting for you at the airport. Come on over this way.
That's nice little $15 million contract.
You better believe it.
That's the call back, and Antonis joined us on the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. All guests come to you from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. I got a pair of Sebastian Maniscalco tickets to give away at the Hard Rock Live in Wheatland. All you got to do is hit up the Folsom Lake Honda hotline right now. Looking for lucky caller number, Jay?
We're going to go 6 today.
To 800-920-1140. 800-920-1140. Sixth caller to that number is going to get themselves a pair of tickets to see Sebastian Maniscalco at the Hard Rock Live in Wheatland. For more information, visit SacktownSports.com. After this, in other news.
Did you catch all the week's headlines?
Check the headlines. Check the headlines. Here's the headlines.
Let the fellas fill you in on this week's In Other News.
In other news, we wrap up the week getting you a little bit of the weird and wacky news from in and often outside the sports world, including from the ocean. Jay, out there in the ocean.
That's a wacky and weird place.
Three orcas, also known as killer whales, this comes from livescience.com, struck a yacht on the night of May 4th in the Strait of Gibraltar off the coast of Spain and pierced the rudder. This is the third attack recently by orcas onto ships. There were two smaller ones and a larger orca, Skipper Werner Schaufenberger told the German publication. The little ones shook the rudder at the back while the big one repeatedly backed up and rammed the ship with full force from the side. Schaufenberger said he saw the smaller orcas imitate the larger one. The two little orcas observed the bigger one's technique and, with a slight run-up, they too slammed into the boat.
Oh my God.
Spanish Coast Guards rescued the crew and towed the boat to Barbados? We'll go with that. And it's, I wouldn't read Barbados as Barbati. How bad a reader do you think
just
I am?
Just trying to make a joke.
And that's quite a distance. They cross the Atlantic.
2 days earlier, a pod of six orcas assailed another sailboat navigating the strait. Greg Blackburn, who is aboard the vessel, looked on as a mother orca appeared to teach her calf how to charge into the rudder. It was definitely some form of education teaching going on. Blackburn told Nine News, reports of aggressive encounters with orcas off the Iberian coast began in May 2020 and are becoming more frequent, according to a study published in June of 2022 in the Journal of Marine Mammal Science. Assaults seem to be mainly directed at sailing boats and follow a clear pattern, with orcas approaching from the stern to strike the rudder, then losing interest once they have successfully stopped the boat. Now, the weird thing about this is they think there's a good reason for this.
There is.
The spike in aggression towards boats is a recent phenomenon. Researchers think that a traumatic event may have triggered a change in the behavior of one orca, which the rest of the population has learned to imitate. Experts suspect that a female orca they call White Gladys suffered a critical moment of agony, a collision with a boat or entrapment during illegal fishing that flipped a behavioral switch. That traumatized orca is the one that started this behavior of physical contact with the boat, Lopez Fernandez said. Orcas are social creatures that can easily learn and reproduce behaviors performed by others. So,
wow.
One orca had a traumatic moment, incident, injury with a sailboat, and that has led to 3 years of killer whales attacking sailboats because they see them as a threat.
Good. Clap us up. We deserve it. I love whale wars. Go off.
This dude's, White Gladys is the leader and everyone else is a follower. Man.
Isn't that something? I've always been fascinated by elephants and killer whales. And just for stuff like this, they show very human traits like loyalty, mourning. They mourn their lost ones when they lose them. The ability to understand and learn and adapt. They're super, super intelligent creatures, and they have now figured out humans are a threat, and they're fighting back.
That's what I'm saying.
Which is another reason to stay the hell out of the ocean, which I already do. I already don't go in there.
Not an ocean guy?
No, I don't go in there. I do not go in the ocean.
Rami, I don't know if you know this about me. You know I surf, right?
Yeah, you've told me that. That's crazy. You're going to get swallowed up by an orca.
No.
She surfs but doesn't go to the batting cage.
I can surf by myself. I would find it sad to go to the batting cage by myself.
I don't know what's under that water, Simone. You have no idea what's under that
water. I'm the flip side of this. I grew up in San Diego. I could walk an hour to the beach. I don't know how to surf.
Yeah. The ocean is great to look at. It's nice to sit by, have a fruity cocktail, you know what I mean?
Enjoy the breeze, the shallow parts of it.
I might take a few steps in. I'm not. If I can't see under the water, it stops right there. Yeah. It stops right there. I'm not going nowhere.
So you wouldn't like...
Especially now that orcas know that we're a threat and they're fighting back. They are fighting back, Simone.
So you're going... Boats are cool, but you're not jumping into the ocean. Like if you were on a catamaran and it was like out in Hawaii and it was like, okay, you can jump into the water here and...
Probably not. The water has to be real. I need to see what's under there. I'm not messing with the unknown. And I won't even... I'll go on a boat as far out as I can see the shore.
Like the Tahitian
waters.
Yeah. Okay.
I need to be able to see the shore.
Glass floor.
Yes. Yeah. Jay, what do you got in other news this afternoon?
A Nashville hotel employee has been charged with aggravated burglary and assault after entering a Texas man's hotel room in the middle of the night, according to Nashville Police Department. WKRN in Nashville, I would believe David Neal. He was arrested Friday after a hotel guest, Peter Brennan, awoke around 5 a.m. on March 30th to find the night manager indulging in an apparent foot fetish, according to local ABC affiliate WKRN. Neal was a night manager at the Hilton Nashville Downtown Hotel when Brennan was in the city for a work conference. According to the Nashville PD, Neil made a clone, made a key card to illegally enter Brennan's room around 5 a.m. Brennan immediately recognized Neil because he had come into his room the day before with the second employee to address an issue with the TV. We move on. Neil reportedly screamed when he found Neil sucking on his toes.
Oh, God.
What? And again, immediately recognized him as one of the two hotel staff members who had came into his room. Brennan filed a complaint with police following the incident, and Neil reportedly told officers that he entered Brennan's room because he smelled smoke and wanted to check on him for safety. Neil did not report a smoke smell to hotel security.
Your toes
and
are
no one
smoking hot.
And no
that
one
was, that was his story. I smelled smoke, so I came in the room and sucked this dude's toes. That's what he's going with.
Wait, Neil did not make a report, and no one else smelled smoke, by according to police. All my life, you just have the sense of security and that sense of peace, right? It's not like you're camping if you have a kind of an open eye. Brennan told the local outlet, you have the security that's yours, and when you close your eyes, you feel like you're safe, you're protected. And it was a complete violation. Wow. I was just so shocked, Brennan said. It was. Who are you? Why are you even in my room? It was almost like a dream, a sort of a nightmare.
It just didn't
make sense. Why is this person touching me? Multiple charges, forgery, drinking, driving, manslaughter conviction as well, which I've served prison time, according to another guest of the hotel. This hotel is cracking, man. Let's just say that.
I was about to say the this exact hotel, same thing, Jay.
Yes, this hotel is cracking. Brennan's lawyers, according to Nashville PD, Brennan, he was taken in. The incident occurred on March 30th. Neil was charged on May 5th. He remains jailed on $27,000 bond.
Yeah, I'm telling you right now, if I'm that dude and I wake up in that situation, I'm not asking any question. I'm not a tough guy. I'm not a fighter. I'm swinging. If I wake up and somebody's sucking on my toes,
swinging.
Hey, there's nothing to do.
If I wake up and my wife is sucking on my toes, what is going on here?
Stranger danger.
Yes.
What is that? That's weird, man.
You're in your hotel room and somebody kicks in your door and clones your car.
Yes.
And they're finessing your feet.
How did you think you were going to get away with that? You didn't think he was going to wake up while you were sucking on his toes? Oh, I can't even say it without getting grossed out.
Oh, my God.
Simone, you got a quick one before we get out?
Yeah, I just wanted to let you guys know I will be participating in San Francisco's iconic Beta Breakers foot race this weekend.
No.
Good segue.
Really?
Yes.
Are you a volunteer? Are you walking this? What are you doing?
I am walking it. I have a whole costume. Of course, I don't know if Rami knows about Beta Breakers.
I don't know what Beta Break is.
Beta Breakers is a huge San Francisco race. Everyone wakes up super early, starts drinking, and everyone's in costume. A lot of naked people as well.
This sounds like Jump Shot Live.
I'll take a lot of pictures and going on a run.
How long is Beta Breakers still? Give me the length of it.
10K?
Yeah. Mm. Ooh, that's a long time. You walking that whole thing?
No. Party's going up.
Okay. Our thanks again to Josue Pavone of CLNS in Boston and Antonis Strogolakis of Eurohoops.net for joining us. If you missed either of those or any of the fun on today's show, you can check it out at SacktownSports.com on our app or at YouTube.com/SacktownSports. For Simone, Kyle, Jay, I'm Rami saying thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again on Monday.
Best of luck, Simone. Talk to me here.
Can we get you to a batting cage?
Young lady, talk to me.
I would love to go. I feel like I'm going to hurt myself, but I would love to go.
Are you, okay, let me ask you this. Yeah. Have you swung a bat before?
I don't think so.
Really?
I don't think so.
Wow.
I have one for self-defense.
As you should.
Jay Mars just gave it to me, but I don't think I have. I've never gotten
a proper
lesson.
That is a travesty.
Isn't that crazy?
You've never been to a batting cage.
Never been to a batting cage. I don't even think obviously I've thrown around a baseball, but I've never picked up a bat like that intentionally. Wow. That's crazy.
We got to make this happen.
I know. I'm excited.
The male population has failed you.
Remember what I taught you. Keep your heart 3 stacks. Keep your heart. Hey, keep your heart 3 stacks. Keep your heart. Man, these girls are smart. 3 stacks. These girls are smart. Play your part. Play your part. play your part.